U.S. Senator Joseph Lieberman of Connecticut said that he hopes a new poll showing his primary challenger with a double-digit lead will shake up his supporters and help him eke out a victory next week. You're listening to Air America Radio News on the Air America Radio Network. I'm Wayne Gilman.
News sponsored in part by Mahatma and Carolina Rice. Only the finest jasmine rice is good enough to become Mahatma or Carolina jasmine rice. It's a gourmet treat you'll love. Try Mahatma or Carolina jasmine rice tonight.
Bonjour, this is Veronique Raskin, president and founder of the Organic One Company. When our ads run on the Tom Hartman Show, our phones ring off the hook. By the way, have you ever wondered what sustained the pioneers of organic wines throughout the past 25 years? Check out our interviews with Dr. Michel Ginouillac at www.ecowine.com or call us 1-888-ECHO-WINE. Au revoir.
Sears has the new air conditioning system you've been looking for. Keep cool this summer with a new Carrier or Kenmore system from a name you can trust. With unbeatable pricing, year-round maintenance and repair, plus our satisfaction guarantee, it's time you called Sears at 1-800-269-2300 for a free in-home consultation. Ask about our special financing terms. A new, more efficient cooling system can keep your family comfortable all summer long and may help you save money on high energy costs. You and your family can count on Sears for the quality materials and installation you've come to expect for over 100 years. Call now at 1-800-269-2300. Offer ends August 26, 06. Subject to applicant credit worthiness. Installation provided by Sears Authorized Licensed Contractors. Licensee information available upon request. Energy efficiency may vary depending upon your home and climate. Keep cool with the new air conditioning system from Sears. Call now at 1-800-269-2300. That's 1-800-269-2300.
If you're one of the millions of Americans that suffers from acne or knows a friend or a loved one suffering, please turn up your radio and take down this life-changing information. Introducing Epiclear, the revolutionary new advanced skin treatment imported from Europe, formulated to help get rid of pimples and prevent further breakouts. Great for all ages and most skin irritations, Epiclear is doing something that no other acne treatment formula has ever done. Ever. We're so confident that Epiclear will clear up your skin that we're willing to let you try it for free. That's right, you heard free, and we mean free. Over a $70 value delivered without a prescription right to your house.
Call now while free supplies last at 1-800-701-3026. Nothing to risk and everything to gain. Call Epiclear at 1-800-701-3026. That was 1-800-701-3026. Limit one order per household, please. Call 1-800-701-3026. Shipping and handling not included.
If you're one of the millions of Americans that suffers from acne or knows a friend or a loved one suffering, please turn up your radio and take down this life-changing information. Introducing Epiclear, the revolutionary new advanced skin treatment imported from Europe, formulated to help get rid of pimples and prevent further breakouts. Great for all ages and most skin irritations, Epiclear is doing something that no other acne treatment formula has ever done. Ever. We're so confident that Epiclear will clear up your skin that we're willing to let you try it for free. That's right, you heard free, and we mean free. Over a $70 value delivered without a prescription right to your house.
Call now while free supplies last at 1-800-701-3026. Nothing to risk and everything to gain. Call Epiclear at 1-800-701-3026. That was 1-800-701-3026. Limit one order per household, please. Call 1-800-701-3026. Shipping and handling not included.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, here's Tom Hartman.
And greetings, my friends, patriots, lovers of democracy, truth, and justice, believers in peace, freedom, and the American way. Tom Hartman here with you. It's Friday. It's the first hour of our Friday program, time for our regular session with the only independent member, not a Democrat, not a Republican, the only independent member of the House of Representatives, the longest-serving member of the House of Representatives in that body's 230-year history, Congressman Bernie Sanders of Vermont. Congressman Sanders, our Brunch with Bernie segment. Our, by the way, our phone number, 1-866-440-8466, 440-THOM, if you'd like to have, if you have questions, comments, concerns, complaints, criticisms, or compliments for Congressman Sanders, give us a call, and know that he would love to hear from you. And if you want to drop into our live chat room, TomHartman.com will get you there. Bernie Sanders, welcome.
Good to be with you, Tom.
Great to have you here, Bernie. Right after we got off the air last week, I believe it was over in the Senate, wasn't it? Around 1 o'clock in the morning, something happened of consequence?
It was
in the House.
Okay. What we saw was, you know, our Republican friends have given a new meaning to the word cynicism. What they, after years and years of pressure being put on them to raise the minimum wage, which today nationally is $5.15 an hour. Many states have gone substantially above that. But nationally, the minimum wage remains $5.15 an hour. And year after year, month after month, many of us have made the point that it is beyond belief that these guys would give hundreds of billions of dollars in tax breaks to the wealthiest people in this country, but they could not raise a paltry $5.15 an hour minimum wage higher. They couldn't do it. Well, finally, because the American people clearly want that minimum wage to be raised, the Republicans said last Friday, they said, okay, tell you what, we will raise the minimum wage, but we are not going to give you a clean vote on that. What we will do is tie the minimum wage increase to a repeal of the estate tax. So that is what they did, and somewhere around 1 o'clock in the morning, we voted on that, and I certainly voted against giving $700 billion in tax breaks to the wealthiest 0.2% of the American people.
We're talking roughly 7,500 people.
7,500 families would benefit. You know, you stop and you think, and you really scratch your head, and you say, where, what world do these people live in? They have been fighting frantically for $700 billion in tax relief for the wealthiest 7,500 families, while the middle class continues to shrink. 5 million Americans have fallen into poverty since Bush has been president. 6 million Americans have lost their health insurance. We have lost millions of good-paying jobs because of our disastrous trade policies. Good jobs going to China. Jobs being created in America that don't pay people a livable wage. Global warming, huge problem that they refuse to acknowledge. And these guys stay up night and are persistent and keep fighting to lower taxes for the wealthiest 0.2% of American families. 99.8% of American families don't gain one penny from this transaction. But what will happen is when you drive the national debt up by another $700 billion, that means the middle class and our kids and our grandchildren will be paying off this debt, which now is at $8.3 trillion. It is, you know, you just stop and you think and you say, my God, where are you coming from? What
world
are you living
in? There is an agenda here, Bernie, and it's rolling back the New Deal. I mean, here's Rush Limbaugh.
Roosevelt is dead. His policies may live on, but we're in the process of doing something about that as well.
These guys want to destroy everything that Roosevelt stood for, from unemployment insurance to the minimum wage to labor protection to Social Security. And the only way that they can do it, because they can't get it through a vote and they can't get it from the will of the people, the only way they can do it is by, as Grover Norquist said, starving the beast, by shrinking, not shrinking government, but shrinking the money available to government so that basically put it out of business.
You're absolutely right. Now, there are a number of Republicans in the House, I know that because I talked to them, who in fact do tell you that they think the minimum wage should be abolished. They think that if an employer can find an employee who's prepared to work for $2 an hour or $3 an hour, that is a transaction that takes place between an employer and an employee. Government should not be involved by maintaining or demanding at least a minimum wage. That's what they believe. But what they know is that probably 90% of the American people would disagree with that. So what's your alternative? What you do is not raise the minimum wage so that it becomes a meaningless number. And that is, in fact, what's happening. The minimum wage today is at its lowest point in terms of purchasing power that it has been in 50 years. In addition, in terms of the bill that they brought forth, what they actually did is overrode, in addition, a number of states, I believe it's about seven.
Right, including Washington and Oregon, which are right up here where I am.
And California,
yep.
As I understand it, which say that if a waiter, when you hire a waiter or a waitress, or people who earn money on tips, that you
taxi drivers too.
Taxi drivers too. That you have to pay them the minimum wage, and then they make their tips on top of that. And what they would do is abolish those laws, so that in fact, for I think somewhere around a million American workers, their income, their wages would actually go down,
right,
rather than go up. So
down to $2.12 an hour
in some cases, right?
Yeah.
So it is, that's where these guys are coming from, and the cynicism is just outrageous.
Yeah, it really is, and it really reveals the conservative agenda of oligarchy, really. We're talking about going back to an old feudal system, and the argument for it that William F. Buckley would put forward, and has, in fact, in the past, or Russell Kirk, in his book, The Conservative Mind, is that having a government that is essentially run by the wealthy, powerful elite is the most stable form of government. Bill Clinton the other night, Monday night, Bill Clinton did this, I emceed this gig in Seattle for Jim McDermott, a fundraiser for him, and Bill Clinton spoke, and he started right out by saying, there's a fundamental difference between conservatives and liberals. Conservatives believe that the greatness of a nation is measured by the vitality of its wealthiest people and its most powerful institutions, and liberals believe that the greatness of a nation is measured by the vitality of its middle class. And that really is the fundamental difference.
Well, you see this every day. I'm on the House Financial Services Committee, and every so often members of the administration, whether it's the Secretary of the Treasury or the head of HUD, or occasionally the head of the Federal Reserve, will come forth at a hearing to make a presentation. And what you always hear from these guys is how great the economy is doing. And that is, in fact, because for their friends, their class, their small numbers of people, the truth is the economy is doing very well. I think, I'm not an economist, but my impression is that for the wealthiest people in this country, probably things have never been better. We know that the number of millionaires and billionaires is growing. We know that the percentage of wealth and income controlled by the people on the top is growing. We know that corporate profits in many instances are very, very high. I mean, ExxonMobil, which is now charging us, at least in Vermont, $3 for a gallon of gas, made $10 billion in profits in the last quarter and had enough money left over to give a $398 million retirement package to its former CEO. So for these guys, when they get up there and say, what's the problem? The economy is really doing well. In their world, behind fenced-off areas where they live, on their Lear jets where they fly, in the finest colleges in the country where their kids go to school, in the best medical clinics where they get treatment, things are very, very good. But meanwhile, for the middle class, what we're seeing is more and more people are working two jobs, people are working three jobs, people are losing their pensions, people are seeing reductions in their health care, in some cases losing their health care. Middle-class families finding it harder and harder to afford to send their kids to college. As I mentioned earlier, 5 million more Americans have slipped into poverty. Affordable housing, huge crisis. People can't get child care. You're a mother with a two-year-old kid. Try to find affordable child care. Very, very difficult.
Mm.
That's the reality for the vast majority of the people here in the state of Vermont. Family farmers now struggling desperately with very low milk prices to stay in business. That's the reality for ordinary people. For the people on top, though, Bush's clientele, hey, things are doing really, really well.
Yeah, they really are. And particularly now that he's reduced the tax, the income tax that you have to pay if you make your living, sitting on your butt around the pool waiting for the dividend check to arrive.
Poor get poorer, and what's the answer? Cut programs for the poor and give huge tax breaks for the wealthiest people.
Yeah, there's something, fundamentally un-American, I think, about this.
I just sometimes wonder how well these guys sleep at night with that kind of agenda.
Well, and even the Republican Teddy Roosevelt has to be rolling over in his grave. Everett Dirksen, I think.
There are millions of Republicans who are decent people who just are shaking their heads at what became of their party.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, my mother, the Republican, I saw her last week, and I was in Michigan last weekend, and she said words to the effect of, I sure hope one of these days the decent Republicans will take back this party. Yeah, Mom, there you go. It's Bernie Sanders is with us. It's our Brunch with Bernie segment here on the Tom Hartman Radio Program. 866-440-8466, our number, 16 minutes past the hour.
Maybe you see people listening to their iPods, white earbuds dangling from their ears, and maybe you don't have an iPod yet because you don't see yourself as that type of person. So are you the type that has a CD player or a six-disc changer in your car? Heck with that. Don't limit yourself. Enjoy your entire CD collection anytime, all smushed into a tiny little iPod. Your iPod is your personal portable jukebox. Plug your iPod into your car stereo or home stereo and take it with you when you travel. No matter where you go, your music collection goes with you. iPods are easy to use and easy to import your music from your CD collection. Talk to us about this if you need help. iPod is your personal portable jukebox. Oh, it's a beautiful thing enjoying today's technologies. This is Dawn from Small Dog Electronics, New England's largest Apple specialist. Come see us in our Small Dog showroom in Waitsfield, Vermont, or on the web at smalldog.com. Small Dog, where you'll find high technology for low prices.
When George W.'s Pentagon issues a $1 million grant to study recent state laws that affect open government and freedom of information, you know it's not good news. This is, after all, an administration that hates sunshine and has been the most aggressive in history at trying to shut out the public, the Congress, the courts, and the media from getting even a peek at what they're doing behind the drawn curtains of the White House. For example, they've increased by 81% the number of government documents marked secret, setting a new presidential record by taking more than 15 million public papers a year out of public view. Also, two-thirds of their advisory committee meetings have been completely closed. It now takes up to 5 years to get a response to a Freedom of Information request, and Dick Cheney claims that he can single-handedly remove any document he chooses from public view without telling anyone, even the president. Not content to close the doors of the federal government, the Bushites are now pushing state governments to close theirs. One step is the $1 million research grant given to Jeffrey Atticott, a professor at the, quote, Center for Terrorism Law at St. Mary's University in Texas. Atticott, a former legal advisor to the Army, says he intends to develop a model statute for states to adopt to shield public information from, well, from the public. Sure, says the professor, there's a public right to know, but how much? He adds that, quote, there's too much stuff that's easy to get that shouldn't be. This is Jim Hightower saying every dictatorship and repressive government in history has said the same thing. As Judge Damon Keith recently put it, democracies die behind closed doors. To keep a vigilant watch on Bush's push for secrecy, call the Reporters Committee for Freedom of the Press, 1-800-336-4243.
Ever notice how people differ on how America's doing? On Wall Street, they say things are going great. Big oil's profits are through the roof. CEOs are raking in millions. And big corporations love paying foreigners those dirt cheap wages. Different story for the rest of us. Gas prices are murder. Millions of jobs are being exported. And now they're saying our kids will have a lower standard of living. Something's got to change. Something already has, and it's this. The people who've always fought to give the rest of us a stronger voice are losing their clout, America's unions. It hasn't happened by accident. The laws that protect a worker's right to choose a union are weaker than ever, and Wall Street wants to keep it that way. So America's got a choice. We can let Wall Street keep telling us how things work, or we can restore a worker's freedom to choose a union without fear of being fired, the way democracy's supposed to work. Paid for by the United Steelworkers on the World Wide Web at usw.org.
Fearlessly exploring the truth of the day, here's Tom Hartman.
Didn't know I was in the minority. All people who love the earth, I hope it becomes a priority before it gets any worse than what I believe in. Looks like heaven to me, where angels take the shape of a tree.
And welcome back to the vast radical middle conspiracy. Take no imitations, my friends. Tom Hartman here with you, 21 minutes past the hour. It's our Brunch with Bernie segment. Congressman Bernie Sanders, the only independent member of the House of Representatives and the longest-serving independent member in that body's history. Our telephone number, 1-866-440-8466. If you want to drop into our live chat room, tomhartman.com will get you there. Also to our blog and message board area as well. Bernie, Chuck, and Joliet, Illinois on the line. Hey, Chuck, you're live with Bernie Sanders.
Hey, Bernie, Tom. Nice to really appreciate having the opportunity to talk to Bernie. Enjoy the segment. Enjoy the show. My question for you, Bernie, is in regards to what I believe has been basically a hijacking by our banking institutions that have allowed our major metropolitan areas in the United States, like Chicago area, to allow the appraisal process to go unchecked. And as a result, we've had very extensive, overinflated, appreciated values of homes. Now, me as a resident of these areas trying to buy a home, I try to take honor to that system, knowing that if I buy a home, my home will appreciate. However, now it's gotten to a point where middle-class families like myself cannot get into these homes. And specifically what I'm wondering is what can our Congress, what can our Senate do to try to put a check into our Freddie Mae, Freddie Mac system before these loans transfer back into Citigroup and J.P. Morgan to regulate this appraisal process and try to prevent random appreciated values from just dropping into their hands?
Well, Chuck, you've asked a good question, and I'm not sure that I can give you a thorough answer to it. What I do know is that when houses appreciate greatly, what ends up happening is, A, you have a gentrification process by which a lot of people who had lived in the neighborhood originally no longer can afford the very high property taxes. So, yeah, the value of the house is going up, but they don't want to make $1 million. They want to live there, and they're unable to do that. We see that in Vermont, and we see that all over this country. I think one solution, certainly, is that we need to have the federal government once again get involved in building affordable housing. And obviously, the more housing we have on the market, the lower housing prices will be. We have in this country, and it's not talked about terribly often. I know I'm getting a little bit away from your question, but we have a major, major housing crisis in the sense not just that people are sleeping out on the street in some cases, but that millions of people are paying 40-50% of their limited incomes on housing and can't afford property taxes. So one solution to the problem is to make sure that we put people to work building affordable housing. A couple of years ago, I had a bill called the National Affordable Housing Trust Program, which would have built huge amounts of low- and middle-income housing. Unfortunately, Republican leadership didn't support it.
I wonder, Bernie, to what extent this might also be the result of Alan Greenspan cranking down interest rates into the negative range, you know, just in time to help George W. Bush get reelected in 2004, and that then fueling a housing bubble,
yep,
you know, putting us all at risk.
Yep.
It's okay, Virginia and Seattle. Hey, Virginia, you're live with Bernie Sanders.
Hi, Bernie. I've been an admirer of your state for some time, and you and Howard Dean, and I wanted to know how Howard Dean managed to balance the state budget and reform the system and how it applies to the United States. How can we apply it to the country?
Well, Howard Dean balanced the budget in the state of Vermont, and I, as mayor of the city of Burlington, balanced the budget for 8 years. And truth is, a lot of local officials and mayors and governors are doing that all over America. But you have a fella in the White House now who, A, thinks that it's okay to give hundreds of billions of dollars in tax breaks to people who don't need it, then spend huge amounts of money on war. And lo and behold, to everybody's real shock, we run up record-breaking deficits. And in fact, the deficit situation is probably a lot worse, in fact, than it appears, although it appears pretty bad. So I think you have, you know, we talked a moment ago, Tom and I were talking about how many Republicans are kind of shaking their heads when they look at Washington. And one of the reasons for that is Republicans and conservatives have been fiscally responsible. You have a president who spends by giving tax breaks and by spending money on war and on weapon systems that we don't need, on corporate welfare, and the result is record-breaking deficits, record-breaking national debt, and a huge financial obligation that we're going to be leaving to our kids and our grandchildren, which is totally, totally unacceptable.
When I was in Michigan last weekend, Bernie, my brother's daughter just had a baby. I'm now a granduncle, I guess. And she was born with a $27,000 debt to the federal government.
Every man, woman, and child in this country, that's
yep,
right.
The birth tax. It's brought to you courtesy of Ronald Reagan and George W. Bush. Amazing. I'd say our Brunch with Bernie segment, Congressman Bernie Sanders on the line with us. Our telephone number, toll-free across the United States, across the world, around the world, 866-440-8466. We'll be back with your calls and Bernie Sanders right after this, 27 minutes past the hour.
This is Vivionik Raskin. I'm the president and founder of the Organic One Company. What happened when you, Thomas, gave us a plug? The phone started ringing. The first person said, whatever it is that you're selling, I want to buy it. And for the next few hours, the phone rang nonstop. The people who listen to your program are what they call in the business my target audience, people who are conscious and responsible and try to do the right thing and try to think for themselves. I would encourage anyone to advertise on the Thomas Hartmann Show absolutely without question, whether that be on the national level or the local level, and you will absolutely get results. The way you can learn more about our imported organically grown wines from France is by calling us. The phone number is 1-888-ECO-WINE, or you can visit our site at www.ecowine.com.
I'm so busy at work, Dr. Phil, I don't have any time ever, and I wouldn't know where to look.
Well, don't just sit around whining about what you don't have. Go out and create what and who you wish was in your life.
Somehow I knew you were going to say that.
Look, don't dream, do. Don't want, get.
Match.com is working with Dr. Phil, and our members are loving his insight. We'll show you who. He'll show you how. So come see what Match.com can do for you. Match.com, the number one site for love.
Hi, I'm NASCAR driver Carl Edwards, and I drive the Office Depot number 99 Ford Fusion. This school year, I'll deliver over $65,000 of supplies and computers to the winning school of the Office Depot Great Tools for Your School Sweeps. To enter, visit Office Depot and give your school's 5% back to school's program ID number at checkout.
Office Depot, official office products partner of NASCAR.
No purchase necessary. For free entry info and rules, visit OfficeDepot.com or participating Office Depot. NASCAR, Inc. is not a sponsor of this promotion. Sweepstakes end September 30th.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham.
And I'm Jesse Russell.
The Teamsters oppose the pensions overhaul bill in the U.S. Senate because in some cases it allows companies to reduce vested benefits, deferred compensation pension money earned by workers. Teamsters Legislative Director Fred McLuckie.
And these are benefits that our members have earned and are expecting to receive when they retire.
The United Steelworkers are joining the Teamsters in opposition to the pensions bill. McLuckie says it's likely to pass, but
the fight won't end. We'll be fighting at the bargaining table as best we can to make sure that our pensions are secure for our members.
As United States car manufacturers begin looking towards broad international plans, the union representing many auto workers in the U.S. is following suit. Last week, United Auto Workers President Ron Gettelfinger met with the Confederation of Japan Automobile Workers Union to encourage stronger bonds when it comes with dealing with common issues. The UAW has been seeking to organize plants owned by Japanese car makers in the United States, such as Toyota. They have had little success, and it is speculated that the cross-border discussions may lead to a coordinated international push.
Supporters of a real minimum wage hike want to defeat a bill up for a vote right now in the U.S. Senate because it would increase the minimum too slowly and has big tax breaks for rich heirs attached that will have an adverse impact on federal programs for the poor in the future. Holly Sklar of Let Justice Roll.
what we want them to do is, at a minimum, pass the Fair Minimum Wage Act, which has been on the table over and over and over again, the Fair Minimum Wage Act, which is a clean bill. That is, it doesn't mix up the minimum wage with other issues.
More information on the minimum wage issue is available at letjusticeroll.org.
Will it be business and not government that solves the health care crisis? Walmart CEO Lee Scott suggested just that on Charlie Rose's PBS show. Scott, whose company is repeatedly attacked for not offering decent wages and reasonable health care options to employees, said he believes the country is at a tipping point when it comes to addressing the issue. Scott added that business won't be alone in pushing the government towards a solution. He said labor will also play a major role.
Here's today's economic report. America's huge gap between rich and poor has gotten so bad even Bush's Treasury Secretary Henry Paulson has it on a short list of the country's top four economic challenges. The bad news is that Paulson puts what he calls entitlement programs, you know, like the Social Security you spend a lifetime of hard work earning, at the top of his list of reforms. That's code for cuts in those programs. Paulson so far isn't offering any solutions to the huge have-have-not gap in the U.S. You've been listening to WIND, Workers' Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Bonjour, this is Véronique Raskin, president and founder of the Organic One Company. Are you thinking about advertising on the radio? If so, try the Tom Hartman program, either locally or nationally. I cannot recommend it strongly enough. It has worked so well for us. By the way, did you know just how much research there is showing how wine in moderation is of major health benefit? Wine is more than just a beverage containing alcohol, you know. Research studies indicate that drinking in moderation, 2 or 3 glasses of wine per day, can help lower cholesterol, decrease the risk of coronary heart disease, and help us live longer. So to read or hear about that latest research from prestigious universities, visit our site, go to www.ecowine.com, or call us. We always love to talk with Tom's listeners. 1-888-ECHOWINE. That is 1-888-ECOWINE.
Bringing democracy to the United States of America, here's Tom Hartman.
Yeah, we want democracy! And we need to get politically active to make it happen. We want our country back. Welcome back, my friends. 34 minutes past the hour. Tom Hartman here with you. The Tom Hartman Radio Program. Talk radio for the rest of us. It's our Brunch with Bernie segment. Congressman Bernie Sanders, the only independent member of the House of Representatives, on the line with us. Our regular Friday Brunch with Bernie segment. Our telephone number, toll free, 1-866-440-8466. And Natalie in Nova Scotia, Canada, on the line. Natalie, you're live with Bernie Sanders.
Thank you, Tom. Hello, Tom. Hello, Bernie. I won't make any comments because I agree with everything you both say. I have one question to ask. Please explain, either or both of you, what is a constitutional crisis? This is in regard to a statement made by the president, I believe, of the American Bar Association regarding the illegal activities of the present administration.
Well, I think in this sense, what a constitutional crisis is about is when you have a president who believes that he is above the law and above our Constitution. I mean, inherent in everything that is great about the United States is that we are a nation of law. And that means that if you're the poorest person, the wealthiest person, the least powerful person, or the president of the United States, the laws of the land and the Constitution apply to everybody. And unfortunately, I think we have a president who thinks that he is in many ways above the law, kind of acts like an imperial president. So he does things like say, well, we are fighting terrorism, we're concerned about terrorism, which is true enough, but I, the president, know who the bad guys are, who the good guys, and I will tap phones or have phones tapped without going through the legal process, which is designed to protect innocent people. I will secretly make sure that millions of people have their telephone calls collected in Washington, D.C. without a legal Congress negotiated and passed, and then tell Congress and the American people that I do not intend to enforce those sections of the law that I disagree with. I think those reasons and many, many others suggest that you have a president who believes that he is above the law, and that raises very, very serious concerns about our whole structure of government.
Thank you, Bernie. Thank you, Natalie, for the call.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to us there in Nova Scotia. Kip in Benicia, California. Am I pronouncing that right, Kip?
In Benicia.
Benicia, okay.
Yeah, the regional capital of California.
Oh, really?
Yeah, a couple of things. First, I think it's really important that people understand what a true conservative is. When the Constitution was being written, there was a huge divide between Thomas Jefferson and John Adams as to if there would be a ruling class in this country. Thomas Jefferson didn't believe in that. John Adams did. Being a true conservative means you believe in a ruling class, in this country. You believe in some sort of, status system. And then secondly, having said that, how do we overhaul our government, because the election process takes so long, to really get us back to the democracy that we're supposed to be? And how do we make people understand that there are such pressing concerns as global warming, overpopulation, any number of things, a separation between the wealthy and the poor? I mean, where do we even start to address these things and, on a more effective basis, rather than getting into the minutiae? How do we find people without just completely kicking everyone out of Congress and the White House and the Supreme Court and starting all over again? I don't really see that we can make much forward motion. We don't have a lot of time to make these changes.
Well, let me answer your question, Kevin. I mean, and the questions that you are raising are on the minds of millions of people. I think there is right now a growing unrest in America, and understanding the government is not working, that in almost every area, whether it is the environment, global warming, the economy, healthcare, the war in Iraq, foreign policy, civil liberties, I mean, you name it, that this country under Bush is moving in the wrong direction. But I have to say, Kip, is I don't think that there are any simple fixes to the problem. The way you do that is the old-fashioned way, through a lot of hard work, through a lot of education, through a lot of grassroots organizing. What we need, in a sense, is a political revolution and a changing of our political culture so that people begin to understand how important the political process is, that the decisions made locally or in Washington have enormous impacts on our lives, our kids' lives, and the environment. I mean, some of the immediate things that we have to do is campaign finance reform. Clearly, right now, our government in Washington is dominated by big money interests. And more people who are seeking office and people who are winning elections are themselves multi-zillionaires. And we don't want to see a government of the rich and by the rich. So I think we need campaign finance reform. Tom Hartman and I have talked many times about media in America. You're not going to have a vibrant democracy if people aren't hearing different political perspectives. When you look at television, for example, where most people get their news from, you're looking at one network after another owned by large media conglomerates. Bush and his friends want to even make the number of media conglomerates who own and control what we see, hear, and read even smaller. So you've got to talk about major media reform. We have to talk about election reform. Our Republican friends are trying in many instances to suppress the vote, to make it harder for people to vote, to have in Georgia, for example, voter ID cards before you can vote, which means a lot of poor people who don't own cars or have a driver's license will find it harder to vote. So I think that all of these areas, our job is to educate, to organize, to make sure that people can hear different points of view, to make people, especially younger people, understand that there is more in life than just, whatever it may be, but that focusing on politics and government is absolutely necessary if our planet is to survive and if America is to become the kind of country we want it to become.
Well said. Thurman in Topeka, Kansas, you're on the line with Bernie Sanders.
Yeah, I wanted Bernie to comment. Someone had spoken about property values before and property taxes. I wanted Bernie to sort of comment on the effect of moving manufacturing overseas on property taxes and education, and also on the tax increment financing that's sort of going on. I mean,
do you mean that when a big factory goes overseas, that that used to be paying a lot of taxes, they're not paying a lot of taxes any longer, and so now you and me have to pick up the load? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah,
that's right. No, Thurman makes a very important point. This country, and you know, let's take a deep breath and see what has happened in this country in the last 30 years and the huge transformation of America. Recently, I was down in Rutland, Vermont, and I was going through a factory, and I was commenting to myself, you know, this is the way it used to be. These were workers producing real products. But in the last 5 years, under Bush alone, we have lost almost 3 million good-paying manufacturing jobs. And as Thurman is indicating, these workers worked in a place. They worked in a plant. They worked in a factory. They worked in a warehouse. And with the decline of industry in America, and those people used to pay, obviously, property taxes, well, where does the property tax burden go? It goes on to homeowners. It goes on to family farmers. It goes on to people who in many cases can't afford to pay it. So I think that is one reason of many as to why, at least I know in the state of Vermont, that I expect in other states as well, property taxes are soaring, and you have many good people who want to see our kids get a great education are voting against property tax increases because they just can't afford it. But the other thing, I mean, Thurman's point is well taken, but in addition to that, you have a situation where in Washington you have Congress years ago having promised to adequately fund special education. We said, let's mainstream our kids, which is a good and right idea. It is an expensive proposition to deal with kids who have autism or other problems. So what we need to do in Washington is keep our promise to school districts all over the country, adequately fund, properly fund special education so that we can lower property taxes in Vermont and in communities all across this country.
Well, we also have the problem, Bernie, and this is one I don't know of any easy answer to, of corporations that play one state against another. You know?
Huge.
I mean, we have corporations all over this country who are paying no property taxes at all.
Absolutely.
Because
they're saying is, look, if you don't give us corporate welfare, we're going to move to another state. We may leave this country. And so you have mayors and governors sitting there saying, what do I have to do? I got 500 jobs on the line. These guys have us over the barrel, so I'm going to cut their taxes. Well, if you cut those guys' taxes, where does it go? It goes to the homeowners. There was some legislation years ago attempting to address this issue in a kind of circuitous way, but it is an issue that should be addressed. It is just wrong for profitable corporations to try to avoid their fair share of taxes and stick it to homeowners in the middle class.
Is there some way to use the Commerce Clause on that?
Some way. And what the way was I don't remember all of the details, but there would be a cutback in federal funding to those states who were involved in bidding wars against other states. Something like that.
Yeah, that'd be great. I mean, that's so important. I mean, it boggles my mind here in Oregon, looking around at the number of corporations that are paying no property taxes and getting other kinds of corporate welfare, you know, because they said,
they're holding communities blackmail is what they're doing.
That's right. They're holding them hostage. It's 45 minutes past the hour. It's Congressman Bernie Sanders with us, our Brunch with Bernie segment. Our number, 866-440-8466. We'll be back with your calls right after this on the Tom Hartman Radio Program.
What's more important to you, a better-looking vacuum or a cleaner, healthier home? Hi, I'm David Orrick. My 8-pound Orrick XL may not win any beauty contests, but it wins rave reviews from owners of those dust-spewing bagless clunkers. Once they try an Orrick XL, they love it. Call 1-800-989-4200, 1-800-989-4200, and take a risk-free trial of the vacuum that won't send a cloud of dust in your face.
You've been hearing about Hypemax, but you still haven't ordered? Hypemax is a patented blend of vitamins, herbs, and amino acids available now without a prescription. Designed for 12 to 25-year-olds, Hypemax is a supplement that provides extra nutrients during those critical growth years when the body reaches its full height potential. Order Hypemax direct today at 1-877-GROW-TALL. There's a 30-day risk-free offer going on now. That's 1-877-GROW-TALL or buy it on the web at Hypemax.com.
Hypemax is a subsidiary of Sunny Health Nutrition Technology.
After the tsunami of 2004, people ran into problems finding water that's fit to drink. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. At the end of 2004, a tsunami devastated the coastal regions of countries all around the Indian Ocean. It was one of the worst natural disasters in modern history, and people are still dealing with its aftermath. Tessa Ilongaseka is a professor of environmental engineering at the Colorado School of Mines. He's from Sri Lanka, an island nation hit by the tsunami, and he's studying water issues in his home country. Ilongaseka says in 2004, about 40,000 people in Sri Lanka were drawing their water from shallow open-pit wells in their backyard. The tsunami contaminated these freshwater wells with salt water. Ilongaseka says people tried to clean out the wells, but they created even more problems.
When you have a salinity problem here, the general guidelines say you go and pump the water. But in the tsunami case, when you start pumping water, it makes the problem worse.
Ilongaseka says rescue crews pumped salt water out of the wells and dumped it on sandy ground nearby. The salt water filtered first into the groundwater and then back into the wells. Pumping the salt water out of the surface wells also drew up more salt water from deeper in the sandy aquifer. Freshwater in sandy coastal areas often sits above a layer of seawater. Pumping out the wells at the surface drew that seawater up and mixed it into the freshwater. Ilongaseka hopes people can learn from these lessons.
I mean, we can never prevent tsunamis, we can never prevent hurricanes, but at least we can be prepared for something like that happens. If you understand what goes on, what is expected to go on, then we can do the correct thing.
That's Tessa Ilongaseka from the Colorado School of Mines. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
Now I have my own successful online business. It's already brought in over $175,000 for me.
I grossed over $321,000 and I was able to quit my 9-to-5.
You've heard all the buzz. Everyday people are putting the internet to work, making serious money from the comfort of their own homes with online auctions. So much money, so easily, they're actually quitting their jobs. And so can you, with a free CD from ISI. Yours absolutely free, just for calling. This free CD shows how easy it is to generate real wealth quickly, with online auctions at sites like the internet's largest marketplace, eBay. And you never have to see, store, or even pay for the products you're selling.
I did over $40,000 in sales last month, and I have my own business now. It's like a dream come true.
The strategies are simple. The money is real and the CD is free. Call 1-800-322-1883 now to get your free CD. Call 1-800-322-1883. 1-800-322-1883.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
It's all good. It's all right. Lord, it's always a good day when you're glad to be alive. Everything I need ain't too hard to find. Why don't waste my time complaining? Cause I don't see how I could. It's all.
And welcome back. 9.5 minutes before the hour. Tom Hartman with you here. Our program brought to you today by Small Dog Electronics. All things iPod, all things Macintosh, smalldog.com on the web, and their telephone number 1-800-511-MAX, 511-MACS. Our Brunch with Bernie segment, Congressman Bernie Sanders on the line with us, the only independent member of the House of Representatives. Dan in Syracuse, New York, you're live with Bernie Sanders.
Hi, Tom. Bernie.
Hey.
Hey, Dan.
I was kind of wondering how the Oman free trade deal kind of sailed through Congress to the president's desk, while the Dubai ports deal, which basically is the same, was fought.
Good question. I certainly voted against it, and there were a lot of people getting up on the floor of the House raising the national security aspects of that, not to mention all of the other aspects about low wages, lack of democratic rights, and so forth. But when it comes to these so-called free trade agreements, Dan, corporate America and the Republican leadership are very, very firm. You know, it's like tax breaks for billionaires. This is something that they believe in. They twist a lot of arms, and they succeed in getting the votes in virtually every case.
I think it just got virtually no media coverage.
Well, that's right. Like, no, absolutely. Yeah.
Doc in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, you're live with Bernie Sanders.
What an esteemed honor to speak to both of you gentlemen.
Thank you.
I have two questions, if I may. And for the sake of brevity and time, I'll take the answers off the air. The first one is this. This country cannot stand, I believe, two more years of neoconism. I think that our Constitution can't stand it. The people, the middle class, won't be able to hold on for two more years. Let's say, hypothetically, in November, the Democrats do not gain back the House or the Senate, and there is evidence of voter fraud again. What do we do from that point on? How do we take our government back?
Before we talk about what we do after the election, that, Doc, I very much think we should be focusing on the next 3.5 months. And obviously the whole issue of touchscreen voting and the potential for fraud is very, very real, and it's something we have got to be on like a laser beam. But I'll tell you this. We have also got to organize people and make people get out to the polling booths and vote. And right now, what I hope that people from one end of this country are doing is getting actively involved in the political process. You know, I know there are a lot of people out there who are saying, oh, no problems, the polls show the Republicans are in a lot of trouble, Democrats are going to win handily. Don't believe it. In my view, both control over the House, control over the Senate is going to come down to a very, very few seats. Democrats need to win 15 in the House. They need to win 6 in the Senate. It is going to be very close. So I hope, A, that obviously state by state, people should be demanding and making sure that secretaries of state and local officials count every vote. People should be on it starting now. But second of all, let's make sure that we bring our people out to the voting booths and get them registered and win these elections.
Rick in Sparta, New Jersey. You're live with Bernie Sanders.
It's a pleasure to talk to you, gentlemen. Bernie, I have a question. Is there any way we can legislate the credit card companies in this country?
Hey, Rick. I had
an example of a high balance on one card due to my son's wedding, and my other card raised the rate from 14 to 28%.
Hey, Rick, you know what? I wish you had come to Washington when I had a hearing on this issue. This is exactly one of the issues that I've been working on the Financial Services Committee, and you hit exactly what goes on. Right now, the credit card companies, Rick, take a guess. How many brochures the credit card companies send out in America to try to get people to sign up? You know how many?
We just dropped Rick. I'm sorry.
Oh, we dropped it. It is over a billion. I mean, just a huge astronomical number.
Over a billion?
Yeah. It is just a huge number. You know, how many do you get in your house?
Well, I get a fair number of them.
We all do.
And if my you have cat kids, gets one. I got one.
They got a huge number. Meanwhile, what Rick is saying, here's the deal. They say, zero sign up, zero interest, 2%, 4%, but they can change that interest rate at any time. And if you incur more debt, even if you are paying your monthly payment on time every month the way you're supposed to do, they can double your interest rates. And Rick's call is a perfect example of what's going on. What we are dealing with, what some of us want to bring back, Tom, is you remember usury laws?
Yeah.
You have no usury laws.
It used to be against the law to charge more than 10% interest in the United States right through the 1970s.
That's right. Well, we don't have that anymore. And that's why, as Rick indicates, there are people in America who are now paying 28% interest on their credit card.
Well, and in payday loans, you got people who are paying 500% interest.
There you go. But this is from banks. These are from quote-unquote legitimate organizations and financial so-called reputable institutions. So dealing with usury and dealing what we call with bait and switch, where they're just jacking up people's interest rates for any reason, is something that some of us feel very strongly about.
This all ties back to the changes in the bankruptcy laws as well, doesn't it, Bernie?
Yes, it does. It ties into that, but it's in addition to that as well.
No, but I mean, it's like part of the whole financial services industry. It's incredibly
profitable.
Yeah,
totally more and more unregulated, and more can rip off the people, not only with high interest rates, with all kinds of fees and, you know, late fees. And
Plus, they want to then get their hands on Social Security.
All right.
Yeah. Good talking with you. Bernie Sanders, Congressman Bernie Sanders, thank you so much for being with us
today.
Good to
be with you, Tom. Thank you.
Always great. Our Brunch with Bernie segment here on the Tom Hartman Radio Program. We'll be back after the news. David Tebow is going to be with us. We're going to be debating whether or not it should be illegal to transport a minor across state lines to get an abortion. Should be an interesting subject. And Juan Cole is going to be with us in the third hour of the program. Professor Juan Cole, talking about the war on Lebanon having been planned for at least a year. 57 minutes past the hour. I'm Tom Hartman.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Abacore. Now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with the first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Abacore and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Abacore really worked.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Abacore works. And Abacore with Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and you can get 3 months of Abacore free with your order, plus a free gift from Abacore's hair care line of products. Call 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270.
Hey, that's a great idea. You could really cash in.
I hope. I've been working on it for years.
Have you got a patent on it?
Not yet. I don't know what to do. I don't know what I need.
Just call Inventec. They can help you protect and market your idea. They've been doing it for inventors for over 10 years. It's easy.
Inventec? That's exactly what I need.
Then call 1-800-319-1818.
Slow down.
That's 1-800-319-1818. And they'll even send you a free inventor's kit and DVD with your confidential submission.
How do you know this?
I called them myself. I have a really good idea of my own, and thanks to Inventec, no one's going to cash in but me. They're going to help me get my invention off the drawing board and into the marketplace.
I really need Inventec. What's that number again?
1-800-319-1818.
One more time?
Call 1-800-319-1818. That's 1-800-319-1818.
Air America Radio News, I'm Christabel in Siabwadi. Israeli airstrikes killed tens of people in Lebanon earlier today. Security forces say that rocket attacks into Israel left 2 civilians dead, and Hezbollah leaders said that they had killed at least 6 Israeli soldiers in heavy ground fighting. The civilian casualties included 28 farm workers who were loading their truck in a parking lot in northeast Lebanon near the Syrian border. According to Reuters, many of the victims were Syrians or Kurds. Yesterday, the Senate rejected legislation that tied a cut in estate taxes with a $2.10 increase over 3 years in the minimum wage, which currently stands at $5.15, by 56 votes to 42. Republicans needed 60 votes to advance the measure, which passed the House last Saturday. All but 4 Democrats voted against the bill and criticized Republicans for using the needs of the poor to help the rich. Meanwhile, AFL-CIO President John Sweeney said the vote told the Republican leadership, quote, in no uncertain terms to stop playing games with the minimum wage. The bill may see another vote this fall. A grand jury investigation into the actions of suburban police officers who barred black New Orleans residents from entering the predominantly white suburb of Gretna was announced last night. The New Orleans residents, who were seeking refuge after Katrina hit, believe that racism motivated the actions of armed police officers, some of which had dogs. Officials deny racism played any role. However, during an interview with the LA Times last November, the town mayor, Ronnie C. Harris, said the city stood by its decision, saying, quote, "It was evident that a criminal element was contained in the crowd of probably mainly decent people." The Department of Justice is suing the city of Springfield in Massachusetts for denying Hispanic and Spanish-speaking voters equal access to the polls under the Voting Rights Act. The lawsuit alleges that poll workers failed to provide Spanish-language assistance to voters, were hostile toward them, and would not let them receive translation assistance from people who accompanied them to the polls. The Voting Rights Act requires areas with a minority of 5% to provide voters ballots and assistance in that language. And this week, the American Civil Liberties Union of Nevada, on behalf of members of the group Food Not Bombs, sued to strike down a Las Vegas ordinance that makes it illegal to feed homeless people in parks. You're listening to Air America Radio News.
News sponsored in part by your Chrysler dealer. Experience the best in American and German engineering and design. Get employee pricing plus 0% APR financing for well-qualified buyers on most Chrysler vehicles. Go to AskDrZ.com for details.
Bonjour, this is Veronique Raskin, president and founder of the Organic Wine Company. If you're thinking of advertising on the radio, either locally or nationally, I highly recommend the Tom Hartman program. By the way, are you curious as to taste wine? Claim our Wine Tasting 101 video. You will never be intimidated again by so-called wine experts, so please visit our site, www.ecowine.com, or call us 1-888-ECHO-WINE.
Tired of having people repeat and repeat what they are saying? Louder and louder so you can hear? In those embarrassing moments with the new Amplier 2005, so small and powerful you won't believe the difference. Amplier 2005 is so reliable, over 100,000 are in use nationwide. Hear even faint phone conversations with ease. Enjoy your favorite TV show, the theater, sporting events, and family functions without straining to hear. Amplier is fully adjustable, fits both men and women, and is nearly invisible. Results are so effective, they're 100% guaranteed or your money back. Not $79 or $39. Order your Amplier 2005 today for only $19.95. You'll also receive 5 extra batteries, a cleaning brush, and 3 custom-fit earpieces absolutely free with your order. Call 1-800-841-7878. Never apologize again for not being able to hear. Order now and get a second Amplier 2005 for only $14.95. Our operators are standing by. Call 1-800-841-7878 today. That's 1-800-841-7878. Order your Amplier and hear even a whisper.
Is the IRS ruining your life? Are you afraid of losing everything? You can end the despair you feel right now. Get ready to write down an important phone number you're going to need to help solve your IRS nightmare. The number is 800-661-0491.
Hello, I'm John Harris, president of J.K. Harris & Company, the nation's largest tax representation firm. IRS problems have a way of ruining every aspect of your life if you let them. They don't go away on their own. The IRS can attach your wages, your pension, your savings, even your Social Security checks. If you owe back taxes, don't despair. Since 1997, our former IRS agents and tax professionals have successfully negotiated settlements for our clients, saving them millions of dollars.
If you owe the IRS back taxes, call J.K. Harris at 800-661-0491 now. You may qualify to dramatically reduce your tax debt. Call 800-661-0491. That's 800-661-0491.
Hey, that's a great idea. You could really cash in.
I hope. I've been working on it for years.
Have you got a patent on it?
Not yet. I don't know what to do. I don't know what I need.
Just call Inventec. They can help you protect and market your idea. They've been doing it for inventors for over 10 years. It's easy.
Inventec? That's exactly what I need.
Then call 1-800-319-1818.
Slow down.
That's 1-800-319-1818. And they'll even send you a free inventor's kit and DVD with your confidential submission.
How do you know this?
I called them myself. I have a really good idea of my own, and thanks to Inventec, no one's going to cash in but me. They're going to help me get my invention off the drawing board and into the marketplace.
I really need Inventec. What's that number again?
1-800-319-1818.
One more time?
Call 1-800-319-1818. That's 1-800-319-1818.
covers corporate lies, exposes political corruption, and has a clear vision of what America could become. Here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome back, my friends. In the state of Idaho, a 13-year-old sixth-grade student by the name of Spring Adams was shot to death, murdered by her father, after he learned that she was going to seek an abortion caused by his incest. Spring Adams, dead, 13 years old. 2003, an estimated 5.5 million children reported to Child Protective Services as being abused. Among minors who got an abortion and chose not to tell their parents, 30% had experienced violence in their family or feared violence or being forced to leave home if they had to reveal this to their parents. And now the nanny state conservatives want more control over our lives and that of our children. David Tebow, with the conservative cybercast news service, CNSNews.com, on the line with us. David, why do you nanny state conservatives want to have all this control over our lives?
You have a remarkable way of setting up debates, Tom. I've got to give it to you.
Well, I try my best, David.
Well, we're not the nanny state. You're the nanny state.
No, you're the nanny state.
No, you are.
No, you are.
This is a situation.
David, you want legislation passed that is going to tell me that if I drive my child or grandchild across the border from Oregon to Washington State, if Oregon made abortion illegal and Washington didn't, that I'd be guilty of a crime. You tell me
no,
you're not trying to stick your nose in my life.
That's precisely not what this is about, Tom. This is about somebody else driving your daughter across state.
Okay, then if I want to drive my niece across the state line, let's say.
Well, if you are the guardian of your niece, that's fine. If you're not, if you're usurping your niece's parents' rights in this issue, then you're wrong. Now, let's look back at the cases that you mentioned, okay, Tom? The 13-year-old girl who was murdered by her father, who had impregnated his daughter. The criminal here isn't the attempt to give parents the right to know whether their daughter is seeking an abortion in a good faith case. The criminal is that father who you referred to. And the law needs to come down with all fury against that man and against the millions of other cases that you talked about.
I'm not disagreeing with you on that, but he killed her because he found out that she was going to seek an abortion because that information was disclosed to him by
right.
the physician. Now, that's the kind of thing that you want to see happen.
Of course not. I think that's absurd.
I don't mean that you want to see her, kids like her murdered, but that you want that information to be disclosed or she has to go to a court or something like that. And really, I think, David, we can break this thing down to three things and just, trying to make this a realistic conversation here. Number one, that really this legislation, the so-called Child Custody Protection Act, is really part of a larger effort to ultimately outlaw all abortion, which gets back to the argument of when does life really begin.
Well, I don't deny that. I mean,
okay.
Pro-life people want Roe versus Wade overturned. And
this is one aspect of it. Sure, yeah. So we're in agreement on that. Number two, I'm guessing that you and the folks that would agree with you don't trust the folks at places like Planned Parenthood or abortion providers to, if a child comes in and says, I need an abortion because I'm pregnant, to ask questions like, hey, is this the result of incest? Have you been abused? Has somebody raped you? And then follow through and report it, even though that's the law, by the way. It is the law that...
I don't have problem with asking those questions, Tom. I have problems with a lot of of the other things that Planned Parenthood and organizations like that do. I don't have a problem with them asking a question about whether incest was involved, because then they can report a crime
or rape.
The father can be prosecuted.
Right, or rape.
Right.
Or whatever.
I have a lot of problem with them not asking the child whether they've thought of adoption.
All right. Well, I don't know that they don't. I mean, do you?
I know that they don't. I know that they're a money-making machine based on performing abortions.
Do you think that a 13-year-old should be forced to carry a pregnancy to full term?
I think a 13-year-old should be able to consult with her parents, and her parents, if they are of a good faith nature. In other words, if they're not involved in the incest or whatever involved in the pregnancy, ought to be consulted. Yeah, I think that parental rights still matter in this country.
But ultimately, you would like to see a situation in this country with Roe v. Wade overturned where that 13-year-old
yes.
would be forced to carry that pregnancy to full term.
Yes.
What right, David Tebow, CNSNews.com, do you think that you and I, people, men who will never experience pregnancy, have to tell women that this is what they have to do with their bodies?
That's a very good question, Tom. It's compelling. I give you credit for a compelling question. Here's what it comes down to, Tom. Do you believe that abortion is taking a life? And if you do, do you think it's okay for men and women, for that matter, to kill? I don't.
No, really the question, well, first of all, I'll give you my answer to that. I think that abortion is taking a life certainly in the third trimester, and in some cases, arguably in the second trimester. I don't think so in the first trimester.
If the fetus has grown fingers, it's okay to kill them. But once they've grown the toes, you can't kill them.
No, I agree with the test of viability. If what you have is a baby that can live outside the womb,
Tom. I mean,
well,
there are babies who
then,
are born at five months now, 4.5 months, who survive.
That's why I said, arguably, in some cases, the second trimester. I think that as a society, you know, we need to be having this debate. You know, when is a fetus viable? But viability has traditionally been the test.
But you know that Roe versus Wade and Doe versus Bolton, the accompanying decision, allow for an abortion at any point in a pregnancy.
And you know that there has been no shortage of, and you know that that has been amended in a thousand different ways by laws, both state and federal, that essentially put viability as the primary test.
But Doe versus Bolton, which is the accompanying decision in 1973 to Roe versus Wade, allowed for the health exception, and the health exception can be for emotional reasons, psychological reasons, or physical reasons, which allows an abortion at any point, including at birth, because partial birth abortions are performed.
Well, and this is an area where, you know, both of us cringe, and I don't think that any, I don't think that any reasonable person, any physician or woman is going to want to abort a baby at 9 months. I mean, the cases are so minuscule as
what if
to
the child has Down syndrome.
The probabilities are greater of being struck by lightning.
What if the child has Down syndrome?
I don't think, you know, that if it's viable, I think it should be born.
Okay.
Okay. I mean, you know, but see,
God bless you for that.
That's my opinion. Now we get back to the question of whether me, as a man who's never going to have to carry a baby,
right.
should have any right to tell women, hey, this is how you're going to have to conduct yourselves in your lives. I think, frankly, men should not be allowed to vote on this issue.
Well, we disagree, obviously. I see it as a life issue. I see it as a God issue. I'm not empowered, and I don't want to be empowered to take a life. I think that's God's job.
But, you know, God told us in Deuteronomy and also, I believe, in Leviticus, in fact, I'm certain in Leviticus, that we should stone children who speak back to their parents, that we should put to death people who wear clothing made of more than two fabrics, that, you know, people who eat shellfish are unclean and an abomination and should be shunned from the community. You know, I'm suspecting that you don't do everything that God said, David Tebow.
I don't believe that everything needs to be translated literally from the Bible. I'm a Catholic, and you know Catholics take the Bible as one source of information, but only one source, not all of the information.
Right, so really shouldn't we as a society be making our decisions based on what we the people decide rather than what the Pope decides?
Well, that's the case now, and I mean that's why you've had 45 million abortions performed since 1973, because the will of the people through the United States Supreme Court has allowed abortion to be legal since 1973.
And shouldn't all of us who think that abortion is essentially not a good thing, you know, it's a tragedy, if at the very least, that shouldn't we all be working to prevent unplanned pregnancies
yes.
by encouraging the teaching of birth control and increasing the availability of birth control?
Well, I don't have a problem with birth control. I do have a problem with advising 12 and 13-year-olds to use birth control if they're going to have sex rather than abstinence.
Well, then you're going to end up with pregnant 12- and 13-year-olds because you and I were both actually...
Not if they've done the right thing and not if the parents have been involved and the teachers involved.
But that's we don't live in a Beaver Cleaver world, David Tebow. I mean, there's only so many, you know, there's only a few of us, it's a fairly large few, I suppose, the American middle class, that is more or less in that world, but not all of us.
Just because we don't live in a Beaver Cleaver world doesn't mean that we shouldn't aspire to something nobler than what we've got.
Well, I'll give you that. I'll give you that. David Tebow, conservative Cybercast News Service, CNSNews.com. David, good talking with you.
All right, Tom. Thank you.
16 minutes past the hour. It's the Tom Hartman radio program where we dare to ask the questions the mainstream media are afraid of.
I work all day, Dr. Phil, and, okay, fine, I guess I'm sort of a homebody, so I feel like it's really never going to happen for me.
Look, love is not like the pizza man. Hi, I'm going door to door looking for a life partner. Not going to happen.
Dr. Phil is now on Match.com. His insights inspire millions every day and help them find love. Now with our free starter kit, you can see if we're right for you. Visit Match.com, the number one site for love.
Rush into Office Depot today for our lowest prices of the season on great tools to start school. Now at Office Depot, a 10-pack of Office Depot pens or pencils are just 19 cents, and composition books are 2 for $1. And for all your qualified school supply purchases, Office Depot will give 5% back in credit to your child's school. So hurry into Office Depot for great back-to-school deals. See store for details. While supplies last, quantities limited.
When George W.'s Pentagon issues a $1 million grant to study recent state laws that affect open government and freedom of information, you know it's not good news. This is, after all, an administration that hates sunshine and has been the most aggressive in history at trying to shut out the public, the Congress, the courts, and the media from getting even a peek at what they're doing behind the drawn curtains of the White House. For example, they've increased by 81% the number of government documents marked secret, setting a new presidential record by taking more than 15 million public papers a year out of public view. Also, two-thirds of their advisory committee meetings have been completely closed. It now takes up to 5 years to get a response to a Freedom of Information request, and Dick Cheney claims that he can single-handedly remove any document he chooses from public view without telling anyone, even the president. Not content to close the doors of the federal government, the Bushites are now pushing state governments to close theirs. One step is the $1 million research grant given to Jeffrey Atticott, a professor at the, quote, Center for Terrorism Law at St. Mary's University in Texas. Atticott, a former legal advisor to the Army, says he intends to develop a model statute for states to adopt to shield public information from, well, from the public. Sure, says the professor, there's a public right to know, but how much? He adds that, quote, there's too much stuff that's easy to get that shouldn't be. This is Jim Hightower saying every dictatorship and repressive government in history has said the same thing. As Judge Damon Keith recently put it, democracies die behind closed doors. To keep a vigilant watch on Bush's push for secrecy, call the Reporters Committee for Freedom of the Press, 1-800-336-4243.
Ever notice how people differ on how America's doing? On Wall Street, they say things are going great. Big oil's profits are through the roof. CEOs are raking in millions. And big corporations love paying foreigners those dirt cheap wages. Different story for the rest of us. Gas prices are murder. Millions of jobs are being exported. And now they're saying our kids will have a lower standard of living. Something's got to change. Something already has, and it's this. The people who've always fought to give the rest of us a stronger voice are losing their clout. America's unions. It hasn't happened by accident. The laws that protect a worker's right to choose a union are weaker than ever, and Wall Street wants to keep it that way. So America's got a choice. We can let Wall Street keep telling us how things work, or we can restore a worker's freedom to choose a union without fear of being fired, the way democracy's supposed to work. Paid for by the United Steelworkers on the World Wide Web at usw.org.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Tell me, George, if there's any damn way that there'll ever be a day I can get on a plane without worrying about the next maniac trying to pay me back just 'cause you're half insane. Right-wing freak judges, $200 billion grudges. Yes, war's cooked up right from day one. Big corporations are running this nation like it never was meant to be run. Yes, George, I hope you're having fun.
Yes, well, apparently he is. He's, you know, in great physical shape. Can't tell that there was any psychological evaluation done in George's recent visit to the doctor, but maybe there should be. Ellen Ratner with the Talk Radio News Service on the line with us, talkradionews.com in Washington, D.C. Hey, Ellen.
Hi, it's Ellen Ratner, and we did some research into what happened with the pension vote yesterday.
Oh, thank you. I asked you this question for our listeners who didn't hear this morning. On my local program on KPOJ, I asked the question. We had a 93-5 vote for pension reform this morning, and I was really curious, you know, who are these five people who voted against it and why? Is there something that we should be paying attention to
here? Two people did not vote. Mr. Lieberman, that's obvious why. Mr. Baucus, I believe his nephew died in Iraq, and so he did not vote. Boxer, Burr of North Carolina, Coburn of Oklahoma, Republican, Cornyn of Texas voted no, and Feingold voted no. And so it was an odd assortment, and it looks as if, and we have not heard from anybody, but Cornyn feels that the pension reform bill would not be fair to all the airlines. And obviously this probably has something to do with American or Continental, because there was some questions raised about the Continental issue from the Ohio senator.
Now, one of the parts of the pension reform bill was that it was going to allow several of the airlines to stretch out the time that they're required to fully fund their pension programs from 10 years to 17 years, if I recall correctly.
Right, and they're very, very concerned about this. It's not just the airlines, but the employees of the airlines, as I understand it.
Yeah.
Coburn's secretary, his press secretary asked him that this morning, and the senator hadn't gotten back to him about it. And we have not heard either from Feingold or from Boxers. It's kind of interesting that neither of them have gotten back to us yet on that.
Yeah, it is. Well, I appreciate your looking into it, Ellen. Thank you very much.
But it looks as if the reason the pensions of people voted against it were for is very specific congressional reasons in their districts.
Interesting.
I mean,
so,
that's the feeling that Wendy Wayne got, and you know she was a Hill staffer, so.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's,
no, Wendy's great. And Talk Radio News, talkradionews.com, you folks do such a great job, and we're so pleased to have you on this program.
Well, thank you. Okay, some other issues coming up at this point. The whole issue of the pension vote and minimum wage, both sides are like doing their thing like you cannot believe. I mean, the stuff we have gotten has been just, you know, off the wall from each side. The Republicans on their side are now accusing the Democrats of voting, and they've sent it to all their hosts. You know how they send their talking points?
Yep.
To all their hosts, essentially saying that the Democrats have voted against minimum wage.
Yeah, I got them.
Can you believe that?
I got them this morning. The conservative alerts and the GOP USA alerts, and yep. The Democrats vote against working people in America.
Exactly. Now, Senator Fritz says he is still looking to keep that trifecta bill together, which include the minimum wage, and that he is going to focus on that when Congress comes back.
You know what this says to me, Ellen Radner, is that the Republican, particularly the Republican leadership, or at least the Republican leadership, really and truly believe the American people are that stupid.
They believe it, I guess. They're going to lose elections based on it.
I hope so. I mean, here's a piece of legislation that's going to cause 1 million people who work for tips in 8 states to see their minimum wage dropped down to $2 and something an hour, and that's going to give a tax break, hundreds of billions of dollars to Paris Hilton and 7,500 other families in the United States. That's the total impact of it. And the Republicans think that the average person doesn't realize that?
I guess not. By the way, as I'm speaking to you, I just got something from Wendy Wang, both on Cornyn and on why he voted against the act. Basically, it was to protect, as you said, the airlines.
Interesting.
And not the workers, the airlines.
Interesting.
Right.
Well, I bet there was some interesting backroom bargaining on this one. I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall, because this whole pension issue, I mean, pensions are a vanishing thing in America, and they shouldn't be. They needn't be, and it's an issue that just is not discussed, because we no longer have labor sections in our papers. We just have business sections.
That's true.
It's amazing. I mean, people just don't know the difference between a pension and a 401k, for example. Ellen Radner with the Talk Radio News Service, talkradionews.com. Ellen, thank you for being with us today.
Have a great weekend.
And thanks, you too, and thanks for looking into this stuff for us. I really appreciate it. 27 minutes past the hour. Viagra for your brain. It's the Tom Hartman Radio Program.
Hello?
Opportunity calling.
I thought you knocked.
That's a cliche.
What do you have?
An opportunity to win.
What's it called?
Sony Card Wish It Win It.
So first I wish?
And then you have a chance to win.
Win what?
$10,000 worth of Sony Entertainment.
That's huge.
That's Sony Card Wish It Win It.
What do I do now?
Go to SonyCardWin.com/experience to create your personal wish list.
I wish for Sony Electronics, CDs, DVDs, and games.
Go now.
Can't wait.
There's a Sony Card winner each month.
So there's a chance?
That you'll be the one.
To wish and then win?
That's why it's called Wish It, Win It from Sony Card. The card that earns points towards Sony rewards with every use. Go to SonyCardWin.com/experience. No purchase necessary. Offer ends 12/31/06. Void where prohibited. Open only to U.S. residents 18 or older as of date of entry. Odds of winning depend on number of entries. For official rules and alternative method of entry, go to SonyCardWin.com. Sponsored by Sony Electronics, Inc. And remember, life's more entertaining with Sony Card.
This is Veronique Raskin. I'm the president and founder of the Organic Wine Company. What happened when you, Thomas, gave us a plug, the phone started ringing. The first person said, whatever it is that you're selling, I want to buy it. And for the next few hours, the phone rang nonstop. The people who listen to your program are what they call in the business my target audience, people who are conscious and responsible and try to do the right thing and try to think for themselves. I would encourage anyone to advertise on the Thomas Hartman Show absolutely without question, whether that be on the national level or the local level, and you will absolutely get results. The way you can learn more about our imported organically grown wines from France is by calling us. The phone number is 1-888-ECO-WINE, or you can visit our site at www.ecowine.com.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham.
And I'm Jesse Russell.
The Teamsters oppose the pensions overhaul bill in the U.S. Senate because in some cases it allows companies to reduce vested benefits, deferred compensation pension money earned by workers. Teamsters Legislative Director Fred McLuckie.
And these are benefits that our members have earned and are expecting to receive when they retire.
The United Steelworkers are joining the Teamsters in opposition to the pensions bill. McLuckie says it's likely to pass, but
the fight won't end. We'll be fighting at the bargaining table as best we can to make sure that our pensions are secure for our members.
As United States car manufacturers begin looking towards broad international plans, the union representing many auto workers in the U.S. is following suit. Last week, United Auto Workers President Ron Gettelfinger met with the Confederation of Japan Automobile Workers Union to encourage stronger bonds when it comes with dealing with common issues. The UAW has been seeking to organize plants owned by Japanese car makers in the United States, such as Toyota. They have had little success, and it is speculated that the cross-border discussions may lead to a coordinated international push.
Supporters of a real minimum wage hike want to defeat a bill up for a vote right now in the U.S. Senate because it would increase the minimum too slowly and has big tax breaks for rich heirs attached that will have an adverse impact on federal programs for the poor in the future. Holly Sklar of Let Justice Roll.
What we want them to do is, at a minimum, pass the Fair Minimum Wage Act, which has been on the table over and over and over again, the Fair Minimum Wage Act, which is a clean bill. That is, it doesn't mix up the minimum wage with other issues.
More information on the minimum wage issue is available at letjusticeroll.org.
Will it be business and not government that solves the health care crisis? Walmart CEO Lee Scott suggested just that on Charlie Rose's PBS show. Scott, whose company is repeatedly attacked for not offering decent wages and reasonable health care options to employees, said he believes the country is at a tipping point when it comes to addressing the issue. Scott added that business won't be alone in pushing the government towards a solution. He said labor will also play a major role.
Here's today's economic report. America's huge gap between rich and poor has gotten so bad even Bush's Treasury Secretary Henry Paulson has it on a short list of the country's top four economic challenges. The bad news is that Paulson puts what he calls entitlement programs, you know, like the Social Security you spend a lifetime of hard work earning, at the top of his list of reforms. That's code for cuts in those programs. Paulson so far isn't offering any solutions to the huge have-have-not gap in the U.S. You've been listening to WIN, Workers' Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Bonjour, this is Véronique Raskin, president and founder of the Organic One Company. When our ads run on your program, Tom, our phone ring off the hook. So I encourage anyone to advertise, either locally or nationally, on your show, the Tom Hartman Program. Your listeners are clearly what's called in the industry our target audience. By the way, did you know that grapes are one of the most heavily sprayed crops there is? You see, the fundamental idea behind organic wine is that making wine with grapes grown without pesticides, herbicides, or chemical fertilizers is clearly better for our planet and, therefore, in all likelihood, better for you, the wine drinker. So for more information and to support ecologically healthy agriculture, please visit our site, www.ecowine.com, or call us. We always love to talk with Tom's listeners. 1-888-ECHO-WINE is our number.
This is the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman.
That's how it is. That's what we got. And if the president wants to admit it or not, you can read it in the paper, read it on the wall, hear it on the wind if you're listening at all. Get out of that limo and look us in the eye. Call us on a cell phone, tell us all why. In Dayton, Ohio, or Portland, Maine, or a cotton gin out on the great high plains. It's done closed down along with the school and the hospital and the swimming pool. Dust devils dance in the noonday heat. There's rats in the alley and trash in the street. Gang graffiti on a boxcar door. We can't make it here anymore.
Now, ever since 1981, this is 2006, so it would have been 25 years ago yesterday when Ronald Reagan officially declared war on working people in the United States by busting the PATCO union. Ever since then, we're not making it here anymore. The middle class being wiped out by conservative economic policies. And now the nanny state conservatives want to stick their nose in make it illegal to drive a minor across the state line for the purposes of getting an abortion. Amazing. 1-866-440-8466, our telephone number, 440-THOM, toll-free across the United States. TomHartmann.com if you want to drop into our live chat room and say hi. I'm in there every day, by the way. Pam in Lakewood, Washington on the line. Hey, Pam. Welcome to the program. Pam, you're live and on the air.
Sorry, I didn't hear you say Pam.
That's quite all right.
Well, I'm a little late because your guest is already gone, but I had 3 points I wanted to make to him, and if it's still relevant, I'd like to make them.
Well, sure, yeah, and the next time I talk to David, I'll pass them along. I'm sure this topic is not going to go away.
No, not hardly. Number one, I wanted to ask him to explain to us exactly how he personally knows that Planned Parenthood is this so-called mill that pushes abortions. I'd like to know how he personally has come to that knowledge. And number two, because I know personally otherwise, you know, having been a longtime member of Planned Parenthood and having to take advantage of them. Anyway, and number two, his whole premise is that they demand that we accept their very narrow definition and their specific definition of when life starts, which is not a thing that's a matter of agreement at all.
No.
And number three is...
Well, in fact, if I may interrupt you, biblically, life begins when a baby takes its first breath. And that, you know, I mean, if you want to even argue theologically, you could say that, you know, viability should be the test rather than anything else, because if a baby isn't capable of breathing, then according to the Bible, it's not a living human being.
Exactly, and then of course science would put it all over the place. Do you know what I mean?
Sure, exactly.
And number three, the other thing is that it has been shown in studies since this abstinence only program has been being pushed during these last 5 years, that the numbers don't support that abstinence works at all. In fact, they, you know, pregnancies have gone up and abortions have gone up. I mean, it's
that's right. And using the abstinence only programs in Uganda and other parts of Africa, but specifically, I have first person knowledge of Uganda. The HIV AIDS rate has suddenly started to explode again.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
And
that is
so,
a side effect of it, which has been devastating in those countries. Yeah. And the last thing is that, you know, as a woman who has, as a very, very young person, had to go through that kind of a decision herself, and only I could know the circumstances which drove me to have to make the decision I did, and no one else could have been able to make that decision for me, having known that and gone through that, it just absolutely enrages me when people who can't go through that experience, who can't know what that's like, start just spouting out platitudes about stuff that they will never have to go through.
Yeah, that's my point. It should be none of my damn business.
I get so enraged. I just, yeah. I mean, I listen to him and I just go, how can you possibly lay judgment on something that you will never have to deal with yourself?
Yeah, absolutely. Pam, thank you very much for the call.
Okay.
Well said. You're an articulate person. I appreciate it. Thank you very much. BJ, University Place, Washington. Hey, BJ.
Hey, how you doing?
Great.
2 points I wanted to make to Dave Tebow is, first of all, he said that the Supreme Court said that you can have an abortion at any time. Actually, the Supreme Court made it a state's rights issue, saying states don't have a right to regulate up until the first trimester. After that, it's a state's right to regulate abortion. And
right.
So what they need to do, instead of taking it to the Supreme Court, making a federal law. They need to take it to the states, and it's the states that have to decide on it.
Well, that's what they've done, and there's a lot of states where they've essentially outlawed abortion for all practical purposes or in most circumstances, and there are other states adjoining them where they haven't, and so people are transporting themselves or others across state lines.
Please tune back during broadcast hours. 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 Please tune back during broadcast hours.
With these folks and reach some kind of rational middle ground that will allow America not to be torn asunder by issues like this. Suggestions?
I think it's asking a lot.
Yeah, well, see, I remember, back in the 70s is when we were having these discussions, when the big debate was, when does life begin? And should it be first trimester, second trimester, those kinds of things. And now you've got a president who's vetoing stem cell legislation because two cells on a petri dish, not even inside a human body, are life. I'm sorry, it's potential life. It's not life.
Well, Tom, he's only against stem cell research because it may provide the cures for lots of diseases.
And so
the pharmaceutical companies can't sell all kinds of drugs to these people to handle their symptoms.
I sure hope and pray that you're wrong, Carol. I can't refute it, though.
What else can you think?
I think it's pandering to. I think it's pandering to his base. I'm sorry, we're out of time, Carol, but thank you for your call. It's 45 minutes past the hour.
Hi, I'm NASCAR driver Carl Edwards, and I drive the Office Depot. Number 994.
Please tune back during broadcast hours. 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 Please tune back during broadcast hours.
Say, what do you think all them saddles and boots was about? And there's many a cowboy who don't understand the way that he feels for his brother. And inside every cowboy there's a lady that'd love to slip out.
You tell him, Willie. Welcome back, my friends. 9.5 minutes before the hour, Tom Hartman here with you in the radio home of democracy, the No Boring Zone. By the way, our comment line, if you don't want to go on the air but you would like to be heard and heard on the air, our comment line is 503-323-6620. 503-323-6620. Give us your take in 30 seconds or less. Remember, your thoughts and opinions may just make it on the air, so make it count. For example, here's a comment about our conversation yesterday, the debate I had with the fellow from Ayn Rand, Alex Epstein, from the Ayn Rand Institute, about Big Pharma. And one of our listeners called in, and here's the comment.
Referring to the pharmaceutical companies, the problem is they got a patent for their 20 years on their drug, but when they change the drug slightly to renew the patent, that's not really fair, because if during that 20 years a competitor changed their product slightly and tried to make a separate patent, they would sue them for it. So they're kind of getting to have their cake and eat it too. Everybody thinks a fair market is free and fair, but when you use the law to make it unfair, it's no longer a laissez-faire system.
Yeah, well said. Interesting, and a point I wish I'd made yesterday. So. I'm always learning from my listeners. I'll tell you, we have the smartest listeners on earth listening to this program, people participating in this program, and I'm so grateful you're there. 52 minutes past the hour, 1-866-440-8466, our telephone number. Martha in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania on the line. Hey, Martha.
Hi, Tom. Tom, the smartest people on earth. That's a little intimidating.
Well, yeah, I'll stand behind that. I've been doing this program. We're now in the fourth year of this program, and I have learned an awful lot from my listeners. I'll tell you, it continually amazes me.
Well, I'm just really glad you're there. You're like a lone voice in the wilderness sometimes. But I have such a problem, Tom, with this whole issue and the way that it's been framed and handled. It is
the issue of abortion you're talking about?
Yes, mm-hmm. It is. It is, as usual, a false paradigm in a sense, because what the other side is doing and has been doing for a very long time is substituting theology, religiosity, personal beliefs for the rule of law.
Yeah.
And that's not the way that it's supposed to be in the United States of America. We're not a theocracy.
That's right. Although you've got those who would have us be a theocracy out there literally trying to reinvent history. There's a guy who is like writing textbooks for Christian homeschoolers and whatnot that talk about how America was founded as a Christian nation by a bunch of God-fearing, Bible-thumping Christians. And it simply, frankly, is not the case. I mean, you had George Washington who refused to say he was a Christian. You had Thomas Jefferson who rewrote the New Testament and took all the miracles out of it. You had Benjamin Franklin who said, I early absented myself from Christian dogma because it was unintelligible. I mean, and now I'm speaking as a Christian, pointing out the fact that none of these guys were Christians. And
they were deists, right?
Well, Jefferson was a deist. Franklin was probably an atheist. We'll never know about George Washington. He went out of his way to keep it personal. He just thought it was his own damn business.
And that's the way it should be.
Yeah.
And the question that
I mean, the only serious Christian among the bunch of them that I can think of right off the top of my head, and among the early serious founders, the real participants, was James Madison, who was a Christian, who was a Protestant. And they were all scared of the Catholics.
Why doesn't? Yeah, I think we still are.
Well, you know, there's a lot of good Catholics out there too,
no,
but you know.
I'm kidding.
Yeah.
I was raised Eastern Orthodox, which is the original one, right? So
oh, yeah.
The Catholic guilt is like guilt light compared to being raised in the Orthodox Church.
Yeah.
But the question I would have then for the gentleman you were speaking with is, has he or do any of his cohort, have they actually spoken to real live women who have had abortions, who have had them make that decision? Do they know what their stories are, why they had to do it? You know, I did when I was very young, and it was the hardest thing, I think, even till now that I've ever had to go through.
I'm sure.
It was excruciatingly painful. You know, and they sometimes want to cast us like we're just a bunch of, you know, abortion-happy harlots who cannot wait to run and kill our babies and all of this nonsense. And it's a profound decision.
You know, I suspect in answer to your question, Martha, that probably, you know, the human nature is to look for circumstances and people who reinforce your worldview rather than challenge it. I mean, that's just human nature. So my guess is that probably David has, well, I can't speak for David, but for probably those people who advocate the nanny state government, you know, getting in our face and ruling about abortion and those kinds of things, that they probably talk to the minority of women who have had abortions who regret it. And that's the source of their information.
And that's sad, because you cannot make actual informed, intelligent, well-thought-out decisions based on just people who will sing to the choir or preach to the choir.
No, you can't. And you know, maybe one of these days we'll bring him around. I don't know. I'm going to keep on trying. Martha, thanks for the call. We're out of time.
Thank you.
Got to wrap it up. I appreciate it. And thank you for listening to the program there on WPTT in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Where Lynn Collins on the air in the morning, by the way. Lynn is great. I want to say call out and say hi to her as well. Coming up next, after the news at the top of the hour, Juan Cole, Professor Juan Cole, suggesting that the war in Lebanon has been planned for at least a year. Now, this should be an interesting one, and then we'll be back with your calls as the program continues. 57 minutes past the hour, it's the Tom Hartmann radio program, Transforming the World. One day at a time by revitalizing democracy right here in the United States of America.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartmann Program. Check our website at www.tomhartmann.com for archives of this program and more information.
Maybe you see people listening to their iPods, white earbuds dangling from their ears, and maybe you don't have an iPod yet because you don't see yourself as that type of person. So are you the type that has a CD player or a six-disc changer in your car? Heck with that. Don't limit yourself. Enjoy your entire CD collection anytime, all smushed into a tiny little iPod. Your iPod is your personal portable jukebox. Plug your iPod into your car stereo or home stereo. And
please tune back during broadcast hours. 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 Please tune back during broadcast hours.
Were harming civilians and said during his trial that taking part in this war went against his values. Pastor is the second Israeli reservist to publicly refuse to take part in this military campaign. Meanwhile, Israeli war paints severed Lebanon's final major connection to Syria when they destroyed four key bridges on Lebanon's last untouched highway. And amid the violence, tens have been killed, including 28 farm workers in northeast Lebanon near the Syrian border. This as Hezbollah shot hundreds of rockets on northern Israeli towns, killing four civilians. The Wall Street Journal reports that federal prosecutors are unsure about if they should issue indictments to politicians like Congressman Bob Ney and William Jefferson, who are both currently under investigation, before the November elections, because to do so might, quote, throw their congressional races into disarray. In fact, this uncertainty has also got some Republicans worried about the many corruption cases being investigated could take on a new lease of life and hurt their chances of retaining control of the House. Others are hoping that prosecutors will sit tight rather than risk accusations of acting on partisan reasons. That said, the Justice Department did reiterate that there is no deadline on indicting any politician in an election year. The insurance firm, the American Amicable Life Insurance Company, has agreed to pay up to $70 million to settle state and federal complaints over its sales policy. It was alleged that the company used deceptive sales techniques to sell unsuitable insurance products to thousands of American service members. While the company neither admits nor denies any wrongdoing, it has agreed to adhere to a 5-year ban from sales on any military base. This ban is one of the longest suspensions ever imposed in the military insurance market. And the Department of Justice is suing the city of Springfield in Massachusetts for denying Hispanic and Spanish-speaking voters equal access to the polls under the Voting Rights Act. The lawsuit alleges, amongst other things, that poll workers failed to provide Spanish-language assistance to voters. You're listening to Air America Radio News. I'm Christabel Inciapuadi.
News sponsored in part by Mahatma and Carolina Rice. Authentic flavored Mahatma and Carolina Rice mixes are delicious and ready in just 20 minutes. Try some today. Look for Mahatma or Carolina Rice mixes at your local grocer.
Bonjour, this is Véronique Raskin, president and founder of the Organic One Company. If you're thinking of advertising on the radio, either locally or nationally, I highly recommend the Tom Hartman program. By the way, are you curious as to taste wine? Claim our Wine Tasting 101 video. You will never be intimidated again by so-called wine experts, so please visit our site, www.ecowine.com, or call us 1-888-ECHO-WINE.
If you run a retail business of any kind, a restaurant, a bar, a carpet store, even a tanning salon, just to name a few, and you need money to grow or run your business, let me explain how a new idea from a company called AmeriMerchant can help you get the money you need. When your customers spend money in your store, many of them use Visa and MasterCard, right? Well, what AmeriMerchant does is advance you money against those sales. For example, if your store does $25,000 in Visa or MasterCard sales, we'll advance you a portion of those monthly sales. You can use the money for any reason or purpose, but you must have a minimum of $5,000 a month in combined Visa or MasterCard sales to qualify. There are no closing costs. You can have the money in as little as 7 days, and we approve 90% of all qualified applicants, so call right now. 800-430-9571. 800-430-9571. 800-430-9571.
If you're one of the millions of Americans that suffers from acne or knows a friend or a loved one suffering, please turn up your radio and take down this life-changing information. Introducing Epiclear, the revolutionary new advanced skin treatment imported from Europe, formulated to help get rid of pimples and prevent further breakouts. Great for all ages and most skin irritations, Epiclear is doing something that no other acne treatment formula has ever done. Ever. We're so confident that Epiclear will clear up your skin that we're willing to let you try it for free. That's right, you heard free, and we mean free. over a $70 value delivered without a prescription right to your house.
Call now while free supplies last at 1-800-701-3026. Nothing to risk and everything to gain. Call Epiclear at 1-800-701-3026. That was 1-800-701-3026. Limit one order per household, please. Call 1-800-701-3026. Shipping and handling not included.
When you struggle with credit card bills every month, you're not just in debt. Debt is all around you.
I see people every day that are on the brink. They're going to go over the edge, and at the bottom is bankruptcy, and we pull them back.
The people who provide Care One Credit Counseling Services know how to help you get out of debt and get on with your life. So call now, 800-297-3019. That's 800-297-3019. We can help you stop the collection calls, pay off your debt sooner, and save up to 57% every month.
You do get to consolidate your payments. You only have to worry about making one payment a month instead of making three or four or five.
Call for licensing details. Get out of debt and get on with your life. Gather up your bills and talk to the people who can help, to the people who care. Call Care One Credit Counseling now. 800-297-3019. 800-297-3019. That's 800-297-3019.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome back. Defending America from the conservative weapons of mass deception. Tom Hartman here with you, 3 hours a day, 5 days a week, 6 minutes past the hour. Professor Juan Cole, professor of modern Middle Eastern studies at the University of Michigan, and president of the Global American Institute. His website, Juan Cole, JuanCole.com, is on the line with us. Professor Cole, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much, Tom.
It's great to have you back with us. You wrote a piece a few days ago that, or a week or so ago, I guess it was now, that so startled me that I said to David Poole, our producer, you know, we've got to get Juan Cole on to talk about this, because this... I don't feel like I can speak on this topic with the level of authority that you can, and it's the sort of thing that needs to be said and or it needs to be discussed and known if it's really the case. You're suggesting that the war in Lebanon, which is currently happening, did not occur as a spontaneous response to the kidnapping of a couple of soldiers, that this was actually something that Israel and presumably the United States had been planning for over a year?
Yes. Well, this was revealed by a reporter for the San Francisco Chronicle that Israeli generals had come to Washington, D.C. and spoken at think tanks and to U.S. officials with a detailed PowerPoint plan for this war, which was remarkably like the war that we are now seeing unfold over a year ago. And it's been admitted by Israeli insiders that this was the war of all the ones that Israel has fought for which it was best prepared. It wasn't just a matter, by the way, of having a contingency plan, because militaries keep contingency plans all the time. This was a plan that was obviously being sold in Washington with PowerPoint. There's a difference here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, here's what I don't get. If I'm a leader in Israel, if I'm Olmert or whatever, you know, it's Sharon, anybody. Sharon's gone now, but if I'm a leader in Israel and I'm thinking about how best to deal with the very real threat of Hezbollah on the north border. I mean, you know, they're up there, they've got missiles, they don't like us, right? I would think, you know, the way that Hezbollah... And I'm looking at how America, the United States, has totally screwed it up in Iraq, and how Hezbollah and Hamas
Hamas have come to victory in the Palestinian territories, or in Palestine and in Lebanon, by running schools and hospitals. That I would want to go back to the kind of the world.
Please tune back during broadcast hours. 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 Please tune back during broadcast hours.
And that's the problem. The Israelis have the best military in the Middle East. They have 400 probably atomic bombs stockpiled. They're extremely powerful. They have all kinds of very fancy airplanes and so forth. But they have a genius for making people hate them. And they maintain, well, it's natural. They've always hated us. And that's simply not true. You know, I can remember in 1982... when the Israeli military came into southern Lebanon to deal with the Palestinian guerrillas of the time, that the local Shiites were putting garlands on their guns and welcoming them. Mm. These same people, after 18 years of Israeli occupation of southern Lebanon, you know, are now considered the primary threat to Israel's existence. So you turn, in the past 20 years, 25 years, they've turned people who were relatively friendly to them into people who are diehard set against them. And it is because they keep occupying territory and brutalizing people that they do this.
Hezbollah came into existence, in fact, in 1982 as a direct consequence of the Israeli occupation. Are there parallels there with what's going on in Iraq and the United States?
Well, sure. I mean, all the social science studies that have been done demonstrate that mostly you get this kind of guerrilla violence when people are militarily occupied and humiliated. This is a time, an era of nations and nation states, of popular sovereignty, of aspirations for independence. So nobody in the whole world wants to be military occupied by a foreign power, and nowadays people are educated. Connected have access to munitions, and they just won't put up with it.
We're talking with Juan Cole, professor of modern Middle Eastern studies at the University of Michigan, and president of the Global American Institute. His website, Juan Cole, JuanCole.com. And you know, we have a minute or two left here, Professor Cole. I'm curious.
Please tune back during broadcast hours. 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 Please tune back during broadcast hours.
Enough interaction with our presidential candidates and all our other candidates for that matter, but president for sure, to make that decision. Is this guy nuts or not? And the fact of the matter is that George W. Bush manipulated the system in large part because our media are no longer required to give free time to candidates. And so they don't do debates like the old Nixon-Kennedy debates or the old Lincoln-Douglas debates or things. That's probably a stretch, but you know, it used to be that if you wanted to keep a license, a TV station wanted to keep its license to broadcast on the airwaves, radio stations, cable systems, whatever. If you wanted to use public rights of way to run your cable lines, or you want to use the public airwaves to send your signal, that you have to be serving democracy in some way. That is, we the people, all of the people. And since the core of democracy are our candidates, our electoral system, that you put your candidates out there. And now what it has become is that the election season is, you know, feeding frenzy time for the ad sales people in the media. And I'm part of it. The radio stations are going to be looking forward to selling advertising to candidates. I'm not suggesting that they shouldn't. But I don't think that should be the only avenue for us to get information about our candidates. And number one. And number two, the press has not been playing the role of being the adversarial fourth branch of government, the fourth estate, that it was envisioned by the founders. I mean, the free press is the only business that was actually written into the Constitution of the United States. Think about that for a minute. The founders of this country did not say, you know, it's so important that we be able to have a powerful war machine that we need to put a protection into the Constitution to make sure that there's always domestic production of cannons and bullets. They didn't say that. They didn't say, you know, it's so important that people be safe from bad guys that we have to put something in the Constitution that says that communities that can't afford police departments will pick up the tab. They didn't do that. I mean, of all the dangers that they saw to the republic that they were creating, the greatest one that they thought needed to be prevented was the loss of a free press. And so of all the industries in America, from shoemaking to uniform making to weapons making to communications, right across the board, of all the industries in America, food, I mean, you know, people can't live without food. They didn't put food into the Constitution. They didn't say farmers shall be protected. The only industry that is specifically mentioned in the Constitution is the press. In the First Amendment to the Constitution, Congress shall make no laws restricting freedom of the press.
because they knew that that was vital to democracy. And what has happened to our free press? It has been bought up by huge multinational corporations that, by and large, are in the defense industry or have interlocking boards of directors with companies in defense industries and other industries that have that are enormously profitable during times of war. And that have no interest in there being a reasonable, rational public debate over issues that have to do with democracy. And this is, you know, all the more the tragedy. And one of the reasons why I think it's so important that we seriously reexamine the Telecommunications Act of 1996 that Bill Clinton signed and Ronald Reagan setting aside of not just the Fairness Doctrine, but all the provisions that went along with it. Back in the 1980s, back in 1987, I believe it was that he did that. And say, you know, no, we have to have an opportunity to know if our candidates are crazy or not, because we can't afford to elect any more crazy people as President of the United States. I'm sorry, we just can't do it. Kirsten in Aberdeen, Washington, on the line. Hey, Kirsten, what's on your mind today?
Thank you, Tom. Thank you for what you just said. Well, I think that we all know that suppression and manipulation of the press and of sovereign nations is absolutely quintessential to a globalist oligarchy, and that is what is being put into place.
I absolutely agree. And increasingly, I think people are realizing it, although they wouldn't, you know, most people probably wouldn't know to use the words that you used. Most people probably in America don't even realize that an oligarchy is the... rule by a small number of very wealthy families.
Yeah.
But that's what it is. And whether they're families or whether they're corporations, I mean, functionally it's the same thing.
And you ran an ad previous to your previous two callers in from the Reporters Commission for Freedom of the Press, whose number I jotted down.
Please tune back during broadcast hours. 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 Please tune back during broadcast hours.
here before we
all right. I want to know the viability of the Voting Rights Amendment, considering that
the Voting Rights Act, I think, it just passed last
yes,
week.
Yes, we don't need it, Tom. We
Why not?
Don't need it. Under the Constitution, aren't we all automatically granted the right to vote?
No, we're not. That was the basis of the Bush v. Gore lawsuit before the Supreme Court in 2000, and that was the ruling of the Supreme Court, is that we do not have a right to vote from the Constitution, for at least the president.
Really?
Yes. Yeah, seriously.
Well, give me the date on that.
In the world's most grueling proving grounds, luxury hotels. 5 years in a hotel is like 50 years in your home. Folks, you owe it to yourself to try the end product of my 40-year obsession, the 8-pound Auric XL. Try it risk-free for 30 days. Call 1-800-989-4200, 1-800-989-4200. If it's perfect for hotels, it's perfect for you.
Hi, I'm NASCAR driver Carl Edwards, and I drive the Office Depot number 99 Ford Fusion. This school year, I'll deliver over $65,000 of supplies and computers to the winning school of the Office Depot Great Tools for Your School Sweeps. To enter, visit Office Depot and give your school's 5% back to school's program ID number at checkout.
Office Depot, official office products partner of NASCAR.
Taking care of business.
No purchase necessary. For free entry info and rules, visit OfficeDepot.com or participating Office Depot. NASCAR, Inc. is not a sponsor of this promotion. Sweepstakes end September 30th.
After the tsunami of 2004, people ran into problems finding water that's fit to drink. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. At the end of 2004, a tsunami devastated the coastal regions of countries all around the Indian Ocean. It was one of the worst natural disasters in modern history, and people are still dealing with its aftermath. Tissa Ilongaseka is a professor of environmental engineering at the Colorado School of Mines. He's from Sri Lanka, an island nation hit by the tsunami, and he's studying water issues in his home country. Ilongaseka says in 2004, about 40,000 people in Sri Lanka were drawing their water from shallow open-pit wells in their backyard. The tsunami contaminated these freshwater wells with salt water. Ilongaseka says people tried to clean out the wells, but they created even more problems.
When you have a salinity problem here, the general guidelines say you go and pump the water. But in the tsunami case, when you start pumping water, it makes the problem worse.
Ilongaseka says rescue crews pumped salt water out of the wells and dumped it on sandy ground nearby. The salt water filtered first into the groundwater and then back into the wells. Pumping the salt water out of the surface wells also drew up more salt water from deeper in the sandy aquifer. Freshwater in sandy coastal areas often sits above a layer of seawater. Pumping out the wells at the surface drew that seawater up and mixed it into the freshwater. Ilongaseka hopes people can learn from these lessons.
I mean, we can never prevent tsunamis, we can never prevent hurricanes, but at least we can be prepared for something like that happens. If you understand what goes on, what is expected to go on, then we can do the correct thing.
That's Tessa Ilongaseka from the Colorado School of Mines. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
Are you in sales or do you own your own business? If so, I want you to think of a number. Think of the amount of money you'd like to make this year. Do you have it? Okay, so what's stopping you? It's not your drive. It's not your skills. Chances are it's your ability to find new leads. It's not easy. But what if someone had already done the work for you? What if with one phone call you could get your hands on as many new sales leads as you could handle and actually make that number you have in your head? It's not too good to be true. It's Sales Genie, the largest provider of the most up-to-date sales leads mailing lists and business credit reports. And they want to give you 100 sales leads absolutely free. No matter what you're selling or who you're selling to, Sales Genie has the sales leads and mailing list you need. And right now, they'll give you 100 sales leads absolutely free. Call Sales Genie at 1-800-322-1537 and get 100 sales leads for free. Call 1-800-322-1537. 1-800-322-1537.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Just another poor boy out to fight a rich man's war. Bobby had an eagle and a flag tattooed on his arm. Red, white, and blue to the moon. Left behind a pretty young wife and a baby girl. I stack overdue bills and went off to save the world. It's been a year now, he's still there, chasing ghosts and thin dry air. He went back at home, the finest company took his car. Just another poor boy off to find a rich man's war.
Welcome back, my friends. 51 minutes past the hour. Tom Hartman here with you. 1-866-440-8466. Our telephone number, toll-free across the United States. Dick in Dayton, Ohio. Hey, Dick, what's on your mind today?
Hey, Tom, how you been?
Great. What's up, Dick?
Oh, I just wanted to tell you real quick, love your points. It's great. I learned so much from you. I've told my friend. This is something that I've learned about, you know, big business uses cheap labor, and there's three things I want to say about this. You got to have profit to stay in business. You don't want to avoid a loss. But what do you think about the welfare of the people, though, Tom? Work hard for our money. Don't you think so?
Yes, broadly speaking, Dick, I do. And I think that the rules of the game of business should be set up so that employers can make a profit, and the people who are working for a living, people who play by the rules, who work 40 hours a week or more, and live honestly and play by the rules, can actually put their kids through school, can have a vacation, can have decent health care. Yeah, it's just a very, very, very straightforward thing. Jeremy on the line. Hey, Jeremy, I don't have a city here for you. What's up?
Hello?
Jeremy, you're live and on the air.
Oh, hi, Tom. I just wanted to compliment you on having Juan Cole on. He has a real clear understanding, and I think that if anyone wants to keep up with the events in the Middle East, his website is really a great resource.
I agree.
And the thing that has struck me as this Lebanon war has gone on, you've talked a lot about the idea that, you know, if people have a middle class or have a feeling that they have some sort of satisfaction in their life,
mm-hmm.
that they will tend to not move toward a radical fanatical way of looking at, you know, their situation or the world. And so your point that Israel could have been well advised to out Hezbollah and actually, you know, create some positive feeling there as opposed to destroying Lebanon, I thought was a good point. And I think it's a point that you can extend to the occupied territories, where instead of using a hammer and trying to take that, you know, more and more of this land and, you know, make a person live under occupation, that you're just setting yourself up for people to move towards fanaticism.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's the same thing we should be doing in Iraq as well, by the way.
Exactly.
I mean, we take all the money that we've given to Halliburton. If you took one-tenth of the money that we've given to Halliburton and instead gave it to indigenous Iraqi corporations and said, okay, you guys rebuild Iraq. You know how to do it. You did it before. You built the country in the first place. You would see Iraq, it's been, what, 3 years now, 4 years now? Iraq would have been rebuilt long before now and working just fine, thank you very much. Plus, you would have put everybody back to work. They wouldn't be out shooting at our soldiers.
Exactly. But what I'd like to say is that, I mean, I hear you guys on Air America, and I really like your show. I'm applying this to Iraq, but I rarely, I want as much as anyone Israel to be secure. But as a friend of Israel, one must say, you know, there's a better way to go about getting your security. And I think using your ideas about creating a satisfactory living situation is something that, in both the short term and the long term, is going to be the best thing that we, as a country who has some influence over Israel, is the best thing that we could do to them. And yeah. Part of that is to say that the settlements to be removed. This was contrary to all of, you know, all of the UN resolutions, contrary to Oslo. And I think that on Air America and progressives, we need to be a better friend to Israel and not allow them to go down what is essentially a suicidal track.
I don't entirely disagree with you, Jeremy. I mean, you know, we could probably split hairs on a lot of those things, but, you know, the first time that I went to Israel was in 1979, I think. And I've been there many times since then. And back in the late 70s and early 80s, you could drive from one end of the country to the other. You could drive from the Dead Sea down in the south all the way up to the Sea of Galilee in the north and north of that. And I know the country like the back of my hand. I know where if there was a street sign up in the north where it said, "Beware of sweeping wimps," and it meant sweeping winds, but it was a typo.